Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Godavari Biorefineries Limited Q4 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Prachi Ambre from MUFG Intime. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Godavari Biorefineries Limited Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call. Today, on the call, we have Mr. Sameer Somaiya, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Ashish Sinha, Assistant General Manager, Investor Relations and Finance, to provide insights on the operational and financial performance. Before we begin the call, I would like to give a short disclaimer. This call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon our beliefs and expectations as of today. The statements are not a guarantee of our future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Sameer, sir, for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for the Q4 and FY26 earnings call of Godavari Biorefineries Limited. We appreciate your continued trust, engagement, and interest in our company. At Godavari Biorefineries, we have always believed that business must create value. Guided by our purpose of creating a beautiful world, we remain committed to building a cleaner, more sustainable, and self-reliant future. At the outset, let me briefly set the broader global context. Ongoing geopolitical developments, particularly in West Asia, have led to increased volatility in fossil fuel supply chains, energy markets, and global trade flows. This current reality demonstrates what a fossil-starved world would look like in the future, and therefore even furthers our resolve of creating a bio-based beautiful world. This uncertainty is accelerating a structural shift towards sustainable and bio-based alternatives as industries increasingly prioritize reliability, resilience, and environmental responsibility. In parallel, the transition towards renewable and bio-based chemicals continues to gain momentum. Rising fuel costs and steps to increase ethanol blending targets reinforce our belief that renewable solutions are no longer optional but essential. This strengthens our long-term vision of transitioning from oil to soil and positions us well as an integrated biorefinery. The regulatory environment also remains supportive. The Government of India continues to push the ethanol blending program and has issued draft standards for blending beyond E20, creating a stronger demand outlook. In line with this, we are progressing well on our 200 KLPD grain-based distillery, expected to commission by June 26, adding approximately 60 million liters of annual ethanol capacity. The FY26 has been a year of steady progress and resilience for Godavari Biorefineries. In spite of the challenging external environment, we have delivered a turnaround in profitability, strengthened our balance sheet, and continue to advance our strategic priorities. Against this backdrop, we delivered a resilient performance during the quarter and the full year. For the full year, total income stood at 2,000 crores, up 6% year-on-year, while EBITDA grew 15.8% to 139 crores, with margins stabilizing at 7%. Importantly, we reported a positive profit after tax of 3.5 crores compared to a loss in FY25, despite certain exceptional factors during the year. In Q4, revenue from operations stood at 564 crores, with an EBITDA of 92 crores and a margin of 16%, reflecting a strong sequential recovery supported by improved sugar operations during the peak crushing season. The performance was supported by disciplined execution, improved efficiencies, and continued focus on strengthening our balance sheet, reflecting in a 32% reduction in finance costs to 49 crores following debt repayment of 240 crores in FY25. Operationally, Q4 reflected strong execution. During the 25-26 crushing season, we achieved our highest-ever cane crushing of 2.5 million tons. Our integrated bagasse-based energy platform continues to provide us with cost and sustainability advantage, enhancing efficiency and stability across the operations. The sugar business benefited from higher volumes, improved recoveries and strong export execution, supporting performance despite a challenging margin environment. Our bio-based chemicals segment continues to progress in line with our strategy of increasing specialty product shares. For FY26, segment revenue stood at 578 crores, supported by improved contribution from specialty chemicals. While geopolitical disruptions impacted sales, our competitiveness continues to improve through debottlenecking, process optimization and innovation-led development, including the successful enhancement of our ethyl acetate operations. In the ethanol business, we delivered steady growth despite pricing pressures. Revenue for FY26 stood at 658 crores, supported by improved feedstock availability, particularly B-heavy molasses. During the year, we have sold approximately 98 million liters of ethanol, equivalent across the ethanol blending program, ENA and other grades. Our multi-feedstock and multi-product approach remains key to enhancing flexibility and reducing risk. Our consumer business, Jeevana, continues to gain strong traction and is emerging as an important growth driver. Revenue for FY26 stood at 129 crores, with a strong growth story and expanding retail presence across South India, reflecting increasing consumer preference for natural and sustainable products. From a strategic standpoint, our priorities remain clear. We are focused on expanding specialty chemicals to improve margins, strengthening our ethanol platform and scaling our consumer business to build a more diversified and resilient model while continuing to invest in R&D, technology and sustainability. We are also strengthening our innovation capabilities, including expanding our global research footprint to support future-ready solutions. Everything we do begins with the sun, the soil and the small farmer. Through our regenerative agriculture initiatives, we are restoring soil health and improving farm resilience and empowering farmers across our network while reducing reliance on fossil-based inputs. At the same time, we continue to build capabilities in high-value innovation, including advancing our oral therapy candidate for triple-negative breast cancer and strengthening our antiviral platform with a recently secured Japanese patent. These efforts reflect our commitment to combining sustainability with science-led innovation. Looking ahead, we are excited about emerging opportunities in areas such as biobutanol, DME and next-generation renewable technologies, which align with our long-term vision of building a sustainable and innovation-led business. We are proud of the recognitions received during the year, including the Karnataka State Boiler Safety Award for our Samirwadi plant, the Sustainability Champion Award at the AIDA Annual Distillers Conclave 2026, and recognition at the Hamova Messe for our digital initiatives. In addition, our participation in platforms such as Chemexpo India and In Cosmetics Global has strengthened our positioning as a reliable supplier of sustainable chemical solutions. In conclusion, FY26 has been a year of resilience, recovery and strategic progress. We have strengthened our fundamentals, improved profitability and built a stronger platform for future growth. We remain committed to creating long-term value for all stakeholders, guided by a belief that growth must be sustainable, responsible and inclusive. With that, I would like to now hand over the call to Mr. Ashish Sinha, who will take you through the financial performance in greater detail.
Good morning, everyone. Let me take you through the key financial highlights, focusing on our operational efficiency. For the FY26, the total income stood at 2,000.2 crore, reflecting a growth of 6% YoY from 1,886.9 crore. EBITDA expanded significantly by 15.8% to rupees 139.3 crore compared to rupees 120.3 crore last year, showing strong operational leverage over the 12-month period. EBITDA margin for the year stabilizing at around 7%, while margins remained under pressure during parts of the year due to elevated feedstock cost, the second half saw gradual improvement driven by operational efficiency and better product mix. From a segmental perspective, during the year, the integrated sugar, ethanol and cogeneration business together reported revenues of approximately 1,383 crore and EBITDA at 97.4 crore, increased by 19% YoY. The bio-based chemical segment performance improved with an increase in percentage of specialty chemicals to 61% compared to 58% YOY against total revenue from bio-based chemicals. There has been a significant improvement in our capital structure. Finance cost reduced to 49.1 crore, down approximately 32% YOY, supported by debt repayment of Rs. 240 crores during the year FY25. As a result, finance cost as a percentage of revenue declined meaningfully, improving overall profitability and strengthening our balance sheet. We reported a profit after tax of Rs. 3.5 crore compared to a loss in FY25. Q4 FY26 reflected a strong recovery in operational performance. Revenue from operation for the quarter stood at Rs. 564 crore and EBITDA at Rs. 92 crore, translating into an EBITDA margin of 16.2%. From a segmental perspective, the integrated sugar, ethanol and cogeneration business together reported revenues of approximately 411 crores during the quarter, with a meaningful improvement in margins driven by higher crushing volumes and better recovery rates. The bio-based chemical segment reported revenues of around 147 crores. On a quarter-on-quarter, performance improved significantly. EBITDA more than a double compared to Q3 FY26, with margin expanding from 9.8% to 16.2%. This improvement was primarily driven by better absorption of fixed cost, higher operating efficiency in sugar segment, and improved realizations across key product categories during the quarter. Profit after tax for the quarter stood at Rs. 52.9 crore, reflecting a strong recovery from Rs. 8.3 crore reported in Q3 FY26. This improvement was largely driven by operating performance, indicating a healthy underlying business momentum. Overall, both the quarter and the full year reflect improving operational momentum, strong cost discipline, and better capital efficiency. This provides a solid foundation as we enter FY27 with improved balance sheet strength and operating leverage. Thank you. We can now open the floor for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Soumya Raghuvanshi with Nirva Capital. Please go ahead. Soumya, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. As there is no response, we'll move on to the next question. It's from the line of Nilay Kulkarni with Narad AI. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congrats on the record-breaking sugar crushing season. And, you know, I've been going through some the reports. One thing that struck me is in the bio-based segment, the contribution of specialty chemicals seems to have shrunk actually from I think 40. Oh, hello.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh no,
we can hear you, Nilay.
Hello.
Nilay, we can hear you.
Yeah. Okay. So sorry. Could I get some understanding on the path to, you know, specialty chemicals in general? I'm really excited about how we are moving away from reliance on ethanol, etc. So that's one. And, you know, if we could get some updates on the distillery as well, that would be great. Thank you.
So thank you for the question. Let me give you a context of what is happening currently in the world of bio-based chemicals. The West Asia crisis suddenly transports us into the future when we see a world in which fossil resources are scarce, and that environment is currently real for us. So that is now resulting in two or three aspects. One is the government of India is looking at further means of bringing us to be a greater self-reliant in energy. That is at one point. And the second is how customers are looking for reliability in their supply chains. I'll go one step further. We are also finding that imports into India are becoming more expensive. And also if you look at export markets, energy costs have increased globally everywhere. Now what is happening in our model, our energy is about 85% from bagasse as a fuel and about 15% from coal. These costs of energy have more or less remained stable. Ethanol itself also is the main raw material, primary raw material for our chemicals that we make, which we sell either locally or overseas. Further, it is going to be coinciding with the commissioning, soon to be commissioned, ethanol distillery capacity expansion. With all these factors taken together, we are seeing a much stronger environment for an integrated biorefinery platform for bio-based chemicals to grow in India and overseas. So we are definitely seeing a stronger outlook in this financial year, and this will be apparent from this quarter onwards. That's the first point. As far as the distillery is concerned, we are going to be doing our commissioning trial next month for the grain-based facility. Did I answer your questions, Nilan?
Do you think that, you know, this year, during the next few quarters, we would see the revenue mix kind of meaningfully shifting? Because to be honest, the FY25 revenue mix and 26 revenue mix are nearly identical, and, you know, the bio-based, this thing remains at a firm 29%. So, I mean, I just wanted to get an understanding on
that. So we did a fair amount of debottlenecking of our bio-based chemicals last year. It took us a little longer to penetrate markets globally and in India. With the new, with the current geopolitical environment, and the competitiveness of the bio-based platform, we are now finding that market penetration to take place in this financial year, beginning with this quarter onwards. So definitely you will see a stronger, the debottlenecking that we did last year will start showing its results in this financial year.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Just a small tack on if I could. For say cosmetic products, like 1,3-butylene glycol, etc. If we could get a sense of, the uptake that we might be seeing, because, you know, those are higher margin products, etc. Recently you did the in cosmetics global as well. So if you could say a bit more about what, you know, seems to be the landscape there.
We make a fair number, more than 20 chemicals from the bio-based sector. Across the board, there are some which are doing better and some which may do the same or less. Overall, I would like to say that under the current situation, where the gap between the fossil prices being much higher, the gap between fossil and renewable has narrowed. So overall, the business of bio-based chemicals shows greater promise in the current environment.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Suhani Singh with Teja Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to ask if you could provide an update on the bio-based chemical segment, particularly in the light of challenges this quarter, and share how demand trends and overall business conditions are shaping up now.
Thank you, Suhani. You know, as I mentioned just right now, the bio-based chemicals markets for Godavari are right now showing a stronger outlook. The fundamental causes for that are that if we compete in, let's say, two places. One is in India with imports into India, and overseas in markets which we have competition from global competitors. With energy, feedstock and raw material costs getting higher because of the current geopolitical tension, and our model primarily looking at bagasse as an energy and ethanol as a feedstock remaining similar, our competitiveness in global markets is there, so we are seeing a broader outlook. Imports into India are also more expensive right now, so we are once again finding an ability to penetrate the markets for our bio-based chemicals based on the debottlenecking that we did last year, much better this year. So that's a stronger outlook. You talked about the water. In last year was a very good monsoon. So as far as the current state is concerned, the dams based on the water that India received last year were good, and the crop around peninsular India where we are has not suffered for lack of water. We of course will be looking with always expectations as to how the coming monsoons will be to make sure that the climate continues to be positive.
Understood, sir. If you could tell me what is the expected timeline for our out-licensing the TNBC molecule, specifically at which stage of early clinical development you anticipate initiating partnering discussions, and what milestones would trigger a formal out-licensing process?
Thank you for your question. We created a step-down subsidiary called Sajjan Therapeutics. The idea of creating that step-down subsidiary was to be able to present the work we do in the US and the world markets with people who are specialized in communicating the story of drug discovery with particular reference to our triple negative breast cancer drug discovery into this out-licensing pharmaceutical world. So that is at one level. Parallel to that, we have completed safety trials for our molecule, and now we are preparing the application to the CDSCO for research in preliminary efficacy. This trials we should be, the application we will make in the next quarter, and then we will, once we receive approval, we will commence trials. The process of talking to pharmaceutical possible potential out-licensees and the trials will happen in parallel. We cannot predict when that will happen, but provided that we continue to be successful, we hope for a time frame of 2 to 3 years.
Understood. One last question. While the West Asia crisis has created opportunities, did it also lead to higher logistics, freight or raw material volatility during Q4, particularly impacting the specialty segment, chemical segment margins?
Okay. What was the question? Were you stating something or were you asking a question? I'm sorry for asking you.
So I'll just repeat again. So while the West Asia crisis has created opportunities, did it also lead to higher logistics, freight or raw material volatility during Q4?
Yes, ma'am. That is correct. The West Asia crisis has also created some supply issues for some of our raw materials, and has also increased freight costs. So we make, as I said, more than about 20 molecules in the bio-based chemicals that we make. So some of these have faced challenges and some of these we are seeing opportunities. So we might have seen the challenges in the last quarter, and we are also now seeing how to react to those challenges and how to see how we can rise to catch or meet the opportunities that they have created.
Was it particularly impacting the specialty chemical segment?
When there is a disruption, it would affect, I would say, the entire segment. Now we are understanding how to deal with that situation, and we will see. It did definitely, the logistics affected the chemical segment.
Thank you for that help. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Apoorva Anil Sharma with RAAS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I'm sorry if this question might have been asked, but so my question was regarding the grain distillery. The catalyst has now been guided for Q1 2027 for three straight quarters, and equipment was due in April-March 2026. So my question is, has it arrived and installation underway? And separately, maize-based ethanol is frozen since ESY 2024, while maize trades near MSP. So what gross spreads are you actually underwriting on the 60 million liters? Could this asset commission into a margin squeeze?
Can you repeat the question? I heard part of it. Your first question was talking about commissioning, I guess, and the second looked at the margins. Am I right? I'm just repeating.
Yeah. I can repeat it. So the grain distillery has now been guided for next quarter, I mean, for this quarter, Q1 2027. So has the equipment installed and arrived physically, and separate regarding the maize-based ethanol prices?
The question one is that the I won't put a number, but almost all the equipment is on site. There may be one or two things here and there which is still being awaited, but most of the plant is erected, and we are targeting commissioning trials next month. So does that answer the first question?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
The second question is that we will be commissioned, as you say, we're targeting commissioning in this next month, and we will have the currently, the government has announced prices for maize-based ethanol, and we will be buying maize to make the ethanol into the blending program. We will, of course, the larger benefits will come of this facility in the coming ethanol year from November onwards. In the meantime, we could also be looking at the ethanol that we produce to meet our needs for our bio-based chemicals facility because imports of ethanol have become more expensive in the West Asia crisis. So we are also looking at our integrated platform going from, as we say, soil all the way to chemicals and see how we can use also our ethanol surpluses to meet our own demand.
Okay, sir. Got it. And just another quick question from my end. Was it actually a deliberate choice to run more ethyl acetate for better near-term margin, or did something happen in the specialty volume customers that we couldn't replace? Or I just wanted to understand on the specialty mix drop.
I would say that the larger strategic objective is to continue to make more bio-based specialty chemicals. So that is our, what I will say, long-term strategic objective. At the same time, if we do see an opportunity in ethyl acetate margins with our ethanol production, we are large producers of ethanol, and if we see an opportunity in utilizing that ethanol into making ethyl acetate at a margin, particularly since you see in the current year, ethanol blending program supply is much greater than demand. So we are just being smart about it. If you see an opportunity, you're long in ethanol, then we will make the ethyl acetate to make the margin. So strategic objective of bio-based specialty chemicals remain, And if there is an opportunity to do ethyl acetate business, if margins are there, we will do that.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kranti Bhatti with Wealth Mills Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for the resilient quarter and set of numbers. With respect to the global crude oil prices, the energy prices, they have been so much volatile. We witnessed the crude oil swinging between 110, 20, and again back to 90. So these kind of swings, the volatility, heightened volatility in the crude oil prices, how much benefit Godavari Bio is? What is your net realization with respect to ethanol is concerned?
Can you repeat the question on the volatility of crude oil prices? Because
Yeah, the crude oil prices have been volatile, swinging between $90 at present. A week back, it was around $110, $20 per barrel. So these kind of volatility, how Godavari Bio is positioned to take the advantage in the medium to short term?
So, you know, when the oil prices increase, then they are making broad... Our energy prices come fundamentally from coal and bagasse being about 85% of that. So when we compete in the market with our energy costs remaining where they are, or even our raw materials are primarily ethanol, we compete in the world with people who have fossil resources. So it just helps us to be a little more competitive in the current environment. Secondly, it is also driving the government of India to examine how they could look at ethanol blending beyond the E20. If you look, they have also notified draft standards of E85 and E100 and beyond E20. So you are looking at a larger ethanol blend as we go forward, and that would create a greater demand in the future. You know, we should remember that the earlier E20 target was for 2030. We achieved it as a nation by 5 years in advance. So the government must also be given time to look at what new policies it should put in place given this surplus of ethanol in the country. This energy crisis has only further, I would say, strengthened the resolve of the government and the country to be more self-reliant in energy. So it is positions us in a strong place, both in the bio-based chemical space as well as in the ethanol space.
How you are foreseeing the demand for ethanol, sir, in the medium to short term?
So the medium to short term, the government, I repeat, what they are notifying higher blends of ethanol. Draft standards have been notified. So the government will have to articulate a policy of what they see in the years to come. It will also reflect on what are the policies to encourage flex fuel cars, because it will be those cars that will be able to take the higher ethanol blend rates. So, but the direction is clear. If the government is announcing E85 and E100 blend standards, then in the future this would come into the market. And it would have to be together with the flex fuel cars in the country. So that is one. Secondly, we are also an integrated biorefinery. So our own ethanol can feed our growing demand for ethanol to make chemicals.
What is your current net realization on ethanol, sir? Could you give some figure on that?
Sir, ethanol prices are declared by the government. They have prices for B-heavy molasses to ethanol, they have juice to ethanol, and they have grain to ethanol. It's all declared. It's one price for anybody in the country. One means one price for each feedstock.
What is your net realization, sir? The gross margin for ethanol?
Sir, in net realization from B-molasses, I think it is about 60 plus. At juice to ethanol, it is about 65 plus, and for maize to ethanol, it is around 72.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Soumya Raghuvanshi with Nirva Capital. Please go ahead. Ms. Soumya, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
I'm so sorry. Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. Can you please discuss on your expectations around the ethanol price revision? Specifically, what timeline you foresee for regulatory action, the magnitude of revision that could be meaningful for the industry, and how such changes could impact your cost structure, blending economics, and overall margin trajectory in the near term?
Thank you for the question. The answer, I am not sure I can have for you. The price revisions for ethanol are a subject matter for the Government of India to decide. The industry has requested the government to increase the ethanol blend pricing in light of continuous increase of sugarcane price over the past 3 years and no corresponding change in the ethanol price coming from either B molasses or sugarcane juice or syrup. At the same time, the directionality of improving demand is there with the issuance of draft standards for E85 and E100. When that happens, automatically today there is a supply surplus of ethanol, and once greater demand is created, we should find both the demand also to increase. In light of the West Asia crisis and higher energy prices, which we now see translating into higher prices at the pump, creating a system in which we are more self-reliant in energy coming from the sun and our soil and the farming community that we have in the country, we definitely believe that the government should do policy measures to help the economic viability in the country.
Okay, sir, noted. So can you please update on the DME project converting carbon dioxide and hydrogen? What stage has the pilot currently reached, and what key technological milestones such as catalyst performance and scale of feasibility, along with economic milestones like cost competitiveness, regulatory clearance, and offtake agreements must be achieved before commercialization?
Ma'am, this is still too early. What to refresh our memory? First, this was done in the pilot, in a laboratory plant at the Institute of Chemical Technology. That was complete. Then we put up the pilot plant. We are currently in the process of running this pilot plant and trying to see how it would function. The process of research on the pilot plant should take a process of another 3 to 6 months, at the end of which we will be able to give a better answer to the questions you are asking.
Okay, sir. So just one last question. Management highlighted that multi-feedstock flexibility as a key differentiator. Can you please quantify the cost advantage or margin protection achieved through feedstock diversification during FY26?
No, ma'am. This multi-feedstock will happen once the maize facility is in place, which will be commissioned. Commissioning trials will happen next month. So you will see the benefit of that business model going forward. It helps mitigate climate risk, policy risk, and feedstock risk. So these are the risks we deal with. In terms of multi-product, what we had said is we make ethanol of various grades. So we make ethanol for the blending program, we make ethanol of the ENA grade, and we make ethanol for other grades. So in this past year, we made ethanol of about equivalent ethanol of 98 million liters, and of that, some of the ethanol we made also went into the ENA market and also other grades. So when you had a supply surplus, having this multiple product possibility helped us run the capacity of our distillery. That was the point. So you will look at it from both ends, multi-product to run it, and multi-feedstock once it is operational for climate policy and feedstock risk.
Okay, sir, got it. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of PL Sharma with DB Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask that global customers are increasingly shifting towards bio-based solutions, right? So are you seeing long-term contracts or strategic sourcing partnerships, like which is emerging with multinational customers, especially in Europe and US?
Thank you for the question. So Godavari, in its strategy, actively co-creates with customers globally to find bio-based solutions, substitutes or supplements to what is otherwise bought in the fossil market. What we are definitely seeing is a gap narrowing between what would be higher bio-based prices versus lower fossil prices. This gap is narrowing. As a result of that, we are finding that there is definitely a possibility of increase in demand in this financial year. Secondly, we also make chemicals in segments which are such as cosmetics or fragrances, in which bio-based solutions have a natural advantage. So given that our cost structure has largely remained the same, which is with our feedstock of ethanol or with bagasse-based energy or with a little bit of coal-based energy that we produce, we are also finding our competitiveness much stronger, and also they find it more competitive to buy from India at this current moment. So we are definitely seeing an uptick in demand this financial year.
Great, great help. One more question, that ethanol equivalent sales reach 98 million liters in FY26 with 81% contributed under the EBC program. So as industrial usage and export opportunities expand, does management anticipate a material shift in this mix going forward? And like, how might the balance between EBP, industrial and export channel evolve over the medium terms?
We see the EBP program as the main outlet of our ethanol production. The other grades for ENA or for other grades of ethanol which go into various segments, that could be in the pharma segment, it could be in the cosmetic or fragrance segment, or it could be also supplying to the ethanol needs at Sakarwadi. But ethanol blending program continues to be our focus for growth as the government continues to target more self-reliance of energy in the country.
Understood.
But, you know, the point being that we want to make sure that we have the resilience to react to demand-supply gaps. If supply is in surplus, we are able to run our facilities at capacity.
Okay. Understood. Understood. And one more last question, that the company plans to commission the 200 KLPD grain-based distillery by June 2026, right? So adding 60 million liters of annual capacity, what is the expected capex asset turns and EBITDA potential from this project at normalized utilization levels?
And we will commission this facility. The trials of commissioning will start taking place in June. And there is some business that we will do in the coming quarter, which is in Q2. And after that, it will also depend on the government ethanol blending program and its targets and prices for the particular sector, which they will probably announce by sometime around September or October of 2026. At that time, we will be in a better position to state how that looks. We'll also, of course, be looking at what the monsoons are like to understand how the crop will be and the pricing of the feedstock.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, this will be our last question. It's on the line of V. Rangan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Can you state why our profitability has fallen from the 95 crores in the last 31st March 2025 to 66 crores the current quarter, that is March 2026? And how much will be the current year expansion will be there? And what will be the profitability in a years to the quarters from, it will be on the line of 55 crores or something like that? Can you come throw some line about that? Thanks.
So what I would like to say is that the margin pressure took place because the government had announced an increased price of sugar cane for the last crushing season and did not increase the MSP of sugar, and neither did they increase the price of the ethanol blend. So that created margin pressure in the business. Going forward, we are looking at better business in the bio-based chemical sector, as well as the commissioning of the maize blaze ethanol will also lead to an addition of profitability in the coming year. So this is how we see it going forward.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Samir sir for closing comments.
Thank you very much all for coming and taking the time to attend our conference today. And thank you for continuing to place your trust in our company as we grow to build a more sustainable, beautiful and inclusive world. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of MUFG in time, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.